Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. See you next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
Yo, you actually started this great. Samantha, so I'm very particular about how the recorder normally like sits.
What do you mean?
No, because stop, because it actually impacts the audio quality if the microphone's facing away from us. It's picking up from a different spot. So if you just heard Samantha on that roller coaster, it's because she was still like finagling with the recorder before sitting it down. Get off your goddamn phone and talk to me. Son of a bitch. So yeah, so it's a weird start. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm curious. I'll listen to it when I edit this to make sure
that
you're
going to see it doesn't make a lick of difference.
No, I'm going to say it does, but you're going to have no proof because you're not going to fucking listen to it. So.
Carly, text me.
She's more of my friend than yours now. It is April. It's April 4th, 2025. Oh my God, we are both on fire and drowning at the same time.
This is fine.
If you're new here, we're married. And we own a couple thousand movies.
And we're so fucking stressed out.
That we're recording this at 10 o'clock on a Friday. We are fitting this in because I will literally not have the opportunity with you for another, like, 7 days. Because this weekend we have a birthday festivities to hold for a former guest and friend of the show, Laura Rial. And then Sunday I'll be leaving to Stuart for work in my new job. And I won't be back until Thursday evening. Which is going to be our new norm every other week, basically, for the foreseeable future. So, fair warning, our dedicated listener. did I stutter? No, for all of you that are listening and rely on this on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who rely on us to bring light into your lives.
What the fuck is going on? Fuck you. Find something else. Because, yeah, we're going to still do our best to try to stay up and do weekly, but the schedule's going to be a little difficult. And this week proved that. I didn't get home until, like, 7:15 yesterday because of car troubles and just living two lives right now at work.
Well, don't say that. Don't say that. People got to think, you're fucking stepping out.
No, I was trying to purposely avoid, so I keep sliding into, like, work jargon. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say, I keep sliding into other girls' DMs, and I was about to flip the fucking couch.
I barely have time to poop.
That's true.
Let alone.
Why do you think I made those cookies?
Yeah.
Stuff you with food.
So.
You're mine.
So.
No time to poop.
It's my favorite Bond film.
Hey, we're no time to poop. Thanks for coming.
No time to poop sock, then we're a business. What was I saying? Oh, that's just from, like, generally, I'm living, work jargon is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, work jargon.
I keep saying at work that I'm wearing a lot of hats still, or I'm wearing so many different hats. I was about to say that, and I was like, it's a podcast, and you're not a fucking work, so don't say that horse shit. And then I still did this weird explanation of it. So, that's what we're going through, is that right then and there, our daughter's fucking summer camp is moving, not
Which
in our backyard.
Hashtag first world problems.
Absolutely.
Like, we know, okay? We know. Things could be a lot worse, but you know what? They could also be a lot better.
They could.
So, let us indulge ourselves in the things that keep us up at night.
We work hard and we've earned it.
Do we have time to watch anything
else? Yeah, so because of that, we are...
Reality TV is all we watch, really.
Yeah, we are... And we are caught up on the studio and in other game shows. So we did watch this week's movie, but nothing else to really talk about. I am going to try... I don't know if I'm going to do it every time I'm on a work trip, because my work trips are normally going to be a minimum of, like, 3 nights. And a lot of times, like, there's not other activities, like, at the after work... I need things to do. I'm not going to do it all the time, but I'm probably going to see movies as much as possible. So I'll have a movie report on our next podcast, because I'm going to go see something only for the explicit reason that we need points for our fantasy movie league.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
It's on our team. So, yeah, so we'll have that next week. But for now, we're going to talk about a movie that I nominated many, many moons ago, back in Oscar season, which does feel like many moons ago at this point. Because it was one of two most recent Best Picture winners that I had never seen, and you have never seen this movie as well. We watched Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. Please tell me you are reading this based on that alone.
I'm pretty sure it's you. Oh, hang on, that's not
because the last thing we did was I fucked up something really simple.
Oh, yeah, you did it on Sixth Sense, so it is me.
Oh, thank God, okay.
All right. Guillermo del Toro's magical masterpiece is a romantic fever dream of a movie, says Pete Hammond, Deadline. A poetic love letter to misunderstood creatures, says Stephanie Zacharak, Time. I think it's Zacharak.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. Oh my God, this is like...
That is minuscule.
3-point font.
Inch High Private High couldn't read this.
Like... Oh my gosh. And like, for what reason?
Yo, I might just let you go on this.
Two sentences. Jeez. Oh my gosh. I have to take off my glasses in order to see it. From master storyteller Guillermo del Toro comes The Shape of Water, an otherworldly fairy tale set against the backdrop of Cold War era America circa 1962. In the hidden high-security government laboratory where she works, I was going to say laboratory.
I would have given it to you.
I know. And then I was like, oh, he's going to fuck me up if I said that.
That wasn't anybody.
Lonely Elisa. What's her name?
It's Eliza. Our Eliza. Daughter's middle name. That's two.
Well, because it's Lisa. So
but we had the closed captioning on. Honestly, had we not had the closed captioning, I would have given it to you, possibly. No, actually, no, I wouldn't have.
I
say it
read.
Hundreds of times.
What? Yeah. Sally Hawkins is trapped in a life of isolation. Eliza's life is changed forever when she and co-worker Zelda, Octavia Spencer, discover a secret classified experiment. Rounding out the cast are Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Michael Stahlberg, and Doug Jones.
Two.
Okay.
Taking it very well. I'm proud of you. So, what was the rule we had here? Whoever reads it, if we haven't
the
watched
other person,
it.
The other person scores.
So that's scored first. Okay. This is so fucking tricky.
Really? Really?
This is...
You think so?
I think so. So I'm going to give this movie a 6.5.
Are you serious?
I have no idea what you're referring to. Give me a number and tell me what you're giving it.
I cannot believe that you're giving it a 6.5.
What are you giving it?
This movie's minimum an 8.5.
Wow. Okay. Okay. The reason...
You're fucking crazy. So you are just like all the other pretentious critics... That you like to complain about, but you are exactly like them.
Can I explain? Can I finish? I almost said 7, but I feel like I'm... It has nothing to do with the message of the story whatsoever.
Bullshit.
Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? I don't give a fuck if you want to fuck a fish. I don't.
But this is Trump America.
We all got through the 60s, okay? In our own ways. No, it's not about the message of the story as well.
Uh-huh.
It's not. I have some problems with the methods in which they told the message of the story, perhaps. But it boils down to the fact that I think I am just not a Guillermo del Toro guy. I just am not. I'm not. I tried Pan's Labyrinth with all the hype, and it wasn't for me. I watched Nightmare Alley, and it was not for me. This is my favorite one of his movies that he's had, but to me, it more often than not is a little tonally challenged, and
that's
it is,
so bizarre.
We can get into it when we get into more specifics of the characters.
Tell me how it's tonally challenged when there's so much silence in this movie.
That has nothing to do. You're taking it so literal, Samantha. I'm talking about like with the characters weaving in and out of so many like moments and pieces of people that really ultimately don't matter. And for me, if they're so meant to be tied together, they didn't for me. I didn't need to see fucking Bob the Russian, you know, weaving, you know, his double life and the stress and pressure that he has. I appreciated the things that we got to see from Richard Jenkins' character, but ultimately they were much ado about nothing. And it, like, even to a certain extent, a lot of the Michael Shannon stuff felt superfluous to the best part of the movie, which was beautiful, of this woman and this amphibian man finding themselves. The rest of it didn't do anything for me. And even to a lesser extent at the end, fucking the Octavia Spencer character and her husband and what she has to deal with on a regular basis. Those things were all distracting from the fucking core of the movie.
It's the juxtaposition of the core of the movie to all of those things.
I'm glad. That's
the whole point.
I'm not arguing that it probably is there. It didn't come across the finish line for me for it to make sense. I'm glad that it did for you, and I'm glad that you liked it. But you also like Pan's Labyrinth and some more of his movies more for me, so you're just more of a fan of his than I am. That's okay. Tell me about why you liked it so much. I'm glad you did.
I'm not an idiot.
Thank you for demeaning my totally valid opinion.
You're welcome now. You know how it feels.
Uh-huh.
It was just...
The difference to yours is, like, it was all right. Like, no, I verbalized with specific examples why I have my opinion.
But you keep interrupting me, and you're not letting me finish making my point.
Because you were saying really short and demeaning things to my opinion, and that's all I'm trying to get through. Go ahead.
Okay. But then you just assumed that you knew what I was going to say.
No.
You just said. No. When you say something like, oh, yeah, it was good.
I'm talking about in previous cases where you're talking about me not having the right opinion. Go ahead. I'm letting you talk.
It was, I mean, absolutely beautiful. The sound editing was great. The use of color was wonderful in it.
I will agree with you that I love the production design of this movie. Yeah, it especially early on, it did a lot of work in world building, but making it feel like, while authentic of its time, not something that felt still like worldly. It felt fantastical.
It did, even while rooted in reality. Like from that opening scene with the narration, and then she's just in the water, she's floating back down, and then it opens up to that scene. It just, like, it sets it for you.
And also it keeps you curious for a while. And you're very curious throughout the movie, which I did appreciate that kind of was a theme of the movie in a way of curious absolutely. To try to find who you are and people that aren't and are just stuck as who they are, like the Michael Shannon character, are just doomed for, you know,
the unhappiness. And just, like, the use of water in this and how powerful it is. For a lot of the characters, and just the constant references to it, I thought the script was beautiful, and I appreciated the different, like, interlocking stories, because that was the whole point. Like, that's the whole juxtaposition of like them as, like, the nucleus, and then all of these other relationships that are around them, and how dysfunctional they all are. Every single one of them, dysfunctional in their own way, whether it's, you know, for reason for or not for reason, or seems okay and then isn't.
Yet the one that's the most healthy and normal is between
the
mute woman and a fish boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the one that's like, oh, really? Yeah. So that is what I appreciated, like taking a step back and seeing it.
The way that you vocalized it now contextualizes it, and I get it a little bit.
Yeah.
So
I thought
well
that
done.
Was really... I thought that it was just beautiful.
I wish they made that... I didn't need it to be more explicit. I don't mean explicit like I needed to see a fish going in a
I mean...
I'm not going to lie. In capital letters, later on in the movie, in my notes, I said... where did it go? Hold on. Oh, movie doesn't have the balls to show it. But we can talk about it plenty. Like, Octavia Spencer being like... He's got a thing.
He got a big thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, explicitly by kind of tying it all together, I didn't feel like you saw it through our two protagonists the way that I think we really could have brought it home. That's just a complaint. And because some of those stories I thought were just superfluous, like I said, to the overall, like, where we were going. And also, we weren't made to really feel a certain way, because I think a lot of their finales was kind of anticlimactic.
I disagree.
Like, I don't see how, like, Bob's death and, like, Strickland's death is not anticlimactic if they're supposed to mean something.
It's like in the journey that we're all on, right? Mm-hmm. And with Bob, like, he was, like, this, you know, seemingly bad person, right? This Russian spy. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, has a path to redemption.
Sure.
When he helps set the amphibian man free and, you know, tries to protect them and everything like that. You know, but at the core, he still ended up dying a grisly death, mm-hmm. right? Getting his comeuppance. And then Strickland, the same thing, even though, oh, a good man, strong man, whatever, right? But being such a like, so from the outside, being like this, you know, successful guy who's in charge, but really is like a bad person inside, you know, without that redemption arc, mm-hmm. basically the opposite of Bob, right? And still also ends up dying this gruesome, awful death, you know, but you feel less bad about one of those two because of that, like, oh, seeing this joy and this love and being around this aura, you know, made one want to be better and made one recoil more and escalate more and be worse. And I think that was kind of what the message was. And, like, how they kind of, like, why they went that way in those two stories.
You found it at the end, and that kind of makes sense to me again, but the way you put it at the end. But still taking so much time was jarring to me. And it was the constant pivoting, which really had no structure to it either, was just taking time away from the beauty of the stuff that I enjoyed seeing. Now, it wasn't all roses to me with that either. Which we'll get to when we're getting the specific scenes, but I just boils down to him. He's not my guy. Again, a 6.5 is not a bad score. I still think it's a good movie. It might ultimately boil down to, in the back of my head, the fact that this won Best Picture over fucking Get Out. Like,
yeah, you're just biased.
I'm not biased.
You're biased against this movie.
I'm not biased against this movie. I still think it is good. I just don't think it is a Best Picture movie. That is all I'm saying. But it works for
you're
you,
obviously so wrong because it did win the Best Picture.
Because those people are freaks.
Okay, you're not wrong there.
Yeah. So what are your favorite scenes or favorite parts of the movie?
I really liked the scene between Eliza and Giles, the what am I scene.
When she's signing him. It's the best scene of the movie.
It's beautiful. I loved the chemistry between these two.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I thought that they just were captivating to watch. Really, really loved it. Just like the heart that was in every scene that they did together was just beautiful.
I believe it was her like Oscar clip for her best actress nomination, and it's the best acting in the movie. It is, well, I would argue against that. It's tipping my hand to MVP. She's great, and that moment is great. But yeah. I think I'm going to push for somebody else's MVP, controversially, probably.
Well, but I just think that scene was beautiful.
And Jenkins is so good in that movie, too. Because he has that moment, and I really don't like the scene afterwards where he goes and visits Pie Boy.
I don't like Pie Boy.
Well, of course I don't like Pie Boy. I do like the concept of, because I didn't know this was, like, in, like, the 60s, like, in where it was, like, in America.
60s in, like, what, Connecticut or something?
Something like that, yeah. So, like, them having, like, their own, like, I don't know if Pie Boy was an actual thing. I'm pretty sure it was not. It's obviously a rip on Big Boy.
Like, Big Pie Boy.
That whole thing, like, seeing the movie theaters and TV and how it intersected the story, I appreciate it, but no, I did not like the Pie Boy scene in general. So, I liked that scene as my favorite scene in the movie. On top of, despite my problems with it, which we'll get to later on in the movie, the beauty of the scene when they are swimming in the bathroom together is, and of course at the end is also works very, very well.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I agree. I love that bathroom scene. And then it just gets, like, magical at a certain point, right? Mm-hmm. And then...
Because very soon afterwards, or he already has... Does Giles already have hair at that point? Yeah, because she rescued him and Vivian Man scratched him and he woke up healed and everything after he glowed. Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. So there is actual magic, at foot here. Beyond the fact that there's a fucking Amphibian Man.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Anything else?
You want to shout out? I also thought that the... Which scene was it? The escape scene when they're breaking him out of the facility. Thought that was a great stretch as well.
It's good. To me, it's a bit overbooked, but...
I thought it was...
It still worked.
I thought it was good. I think it had the right level of anxiety in it. Mm-hmm.
I liked every scene with Strickland and Eliza. All the interrogation scenes and stuff. I thought they had a really amazing, intense... Not sexually, but this intense, pro-antagonist, antagonist energy with one another. Mm-hmm. Especially the second one when she signs, fuck you. And he has, no idea what she's saying. I thought that stuff was very, very good. There was another one I was going to call out that I missed. I just mentioned the interrogation scene. Oh, at one point, he's on the phone call with somebody, and he says, because he loses two of his fingers, and he gets them reattached. That whole thing is gross.
And he said,
I can't appreciate that this movie is typically Del Toro gross. He still got his pussy finger. He had his thumb, his trigger finger, and his pussy finger. That was...
Yeah. Right?
Love it. Pussy finger Barry Windham. that's the only reason why I wanted to do that.
I thought you were asking for clarity on what a pussy finger was.
It's the middle finger.
Yeah, I'm well aware. that's why I was confused as to why you...
And going along with the production design stuff, you talked about beautiful music in this movie. It looks great. The fact that the fucking Amphibian Man is, practical, fucking is amazing.
And the fact that it's Doug Jones, come on, man.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Legendary.
The two of them do a great job in every scene. So stuff you didn't like. I know you're not going to have a lot. I have a little list.
That's fine. You can have a list. There were some things that I thought were a little bit unnecessary. Some of the scenes with the general.
Yeah.
I thought that they weren't super necessary. I felt like Strickland was enough of a driver, MacGuffin, of the action of the movie.
So I get why they're there to show the additional amount of pressure that he feels that he's under, right?
Yeah.
But they don't work because that's a performance thing. That guy was terrible.
He was bad.
He's one of two LVPs on my list that we're going to get to in a second. But I agree. And that's I forgot to explicitly call that out when I was talking about Bob and the Russian stuff. That stuff bothered me equally, if not more.
Yeah.
So that's definitely stuff. Oh, something I forgot to mention. I appreciate she's just horny from the jump, though. It's not like she meets a fish boy and all of a sudden she's found herself. It's like, nah, man, she's...
Every morning, jerking off in the bathtub.
She got her pussy finger, every morning, ready to go.
Those 8 minutes she's boiling eggs.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
I don't even want to know what's about to come out of your mouth.
Meanwhile, you couldn't make this movie today.
This movie was 8 years ago. Of course you could.
No, you couldn't. You know, they blow through their budget. You know how many eggs she boiled? This fucking movie?
Great, great commentary on social climate, Samantha.
Yeah, bring it all together.
So, there's quite a lot going on. I also didn't get, the Giles stuff when, he's trying to, sell his paintings at his old employer. Where, were they supposed to be formally together? Or, what was that whole...
That, I think it's kind of...
I don't know. The nature of the facility, the experiments that are going on is kind of ambiguous. You got fish flirting happening. I hated Strickland at home. That whole scene was so surreal and unnecessary when his kids are I get it's the 60s. As a dad, you have to establish that there's no warmth and love and he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. But the stuff with his wife... It just was icky.
Yeah, it was
and
very
we never went
icky.
Back to it either.
That was very icky, and that's the note I put. And I didn't realize until later it was because he was trying to get her to be quiet because he was fantasizing about
Yeah, absolutely. Eliza. He's like infatuated with her. Of course. Yeah, no, I got that very easy.
But it was just totally icky. And the wife was just so...
And I guess it could be again in contrast because then afterwards the amphibian and Eliza stuff was kind of ramping up and it's very sweet and very well done in the silence because they can't communicate and that's what he wants, you know, for the wrong reasons. I get it. I just didn't like the way it came across.
Yeah, no, I didn't like any of his scenes at home either.
I think it was another thing was, again, it was unbalanced. That was the only really one.
Well, that one and then the car.
Yeah, but like that was really it.
Yeah. There may have been one more.
Yeah. I didn't dislike to be a man hanging out in the apartment. It was very odd. Then he kills a cat, watches a movie, glows. Who hasn't done that? You know?
He doesn't just kill a cat.
Oh, he ate a cat. Yeah.
He fucking went in on this cat.
Yeah, man. Pussy looking good. this is the episode my coworkers are going to start listening to. and also, like, Del Toro, man, he loves these somewhat sad, violent endings, doesn't he? He goes, movies' That's endings always feel is. A little, like, anticlimactic and, like, kind of awkward to me.
I disagree.
The other thing I didn't like. I hated when she sung. I was like, this scene doesn't fit. It's so stylized. It's just, like... It's not as big a number as I thought it was going to be, but it's still, like, a number. And to me, like, it just kind of... It's like, you had to go there. You had to see her do it. I didn't need to do it. It was cool seeing Fish Dude dance, though.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the black and white. She gets this, like, big moment to sing and dance. It felt inauthentic. Also, the ending, like, so she was always a fish woman?
No. She was just always...
So he, like, did he give her those powers?
Destined. He turned her scratches into gills.
So not
her
only
weakness, could, right? The thing that took away her voice. Into her
sustenance, okay.
Into her sustenance, all right? Like, set her apart.
Okay.
Then that's what brought them together, right?
Got it. I was thinking she was somehow a fish woman this whole time.
No. She just had that affinity for the water, right? And that's kind of like, and I know, like, that's why, like, she was, like, jerking off in the water every morning. She liked to take the baths. She has that affinity for the water.
Sorry.
So it just kind of all ties together. No, it all ties together. What? It does. It's something to freak out about. Everybody, you know?
I'm sorry. I guess I can tie this in with performances and a couple other little small scenes that I did like. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'll wait this for my rant. I'll have two rants. I need two rants later. But yeah, I mean... I was a little disappointed that we actually didn't see any fish fucking. like, I didn't know this whole time, but I knew it was Del Toro, so Del Toro, go there. This is pretty tame for him, honestly, in my opinion.
Because there was no fish fucking?
Well, like, there needed to be fish. Like, I wanted it.
Chris!
Like, come on! If you're gonna fucking go there, just fucking go there! No one has any fucking balls anymore, man.
All right.
Disappointed. Yeah, that's about it. We already talked about a lot of technical stuff, so do you want to get an MVP and LVP?
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is one other thing I was confused about. Like, at the beginning, before we even got to Amphibian Man,
yeah.
I'm not sure how it was supposed to feel, like, the repetitive life that we see her live while she's still being, like, happy and curious with herself and everything. Like there's this little, like, montage of her doing stuff.
She's just happy. She's just a good... person.
So it's basically showing that she deserves what she ends up getting, essentially, which is finding, right. Like, just because she's not unhappy per se,
right,
doesn't mean that she doesn't deserve somebody.
Exactly. Okay. Just because you're not unhappy, she's perfectly content. She has her best friend, she's taking care of him, she's got this job, mm-hmm. right? She's living a great life, but there's something that's missing. And that's what it is.
Touché.
That's what it is. I think, because she would have been fine had that just been her life.
I get it.
But then, you know, chance happens and look.
I'm cool, Daddy.
All right. I think Pie Boy's the LVP here.
It's not Pie Boy. See, I didn't dislike the performance to a certain extent.
Oh, I hated that performance and I hated that character.
I hated the character. I didn't dislike the performance. I think he played it very well. both scenes in terms of, like, I can get the misconstrued nature. And then I didn't like him in the second scene as much as the first scene. So my two are that general.
Like, yeah, the general.
He was so fucking wooden and not a fit at all for somebody that, like, is supposed to not necessarily instill fear in Strickland, but somebody who Strickland is, like, who he needs to impress or needs to get over on. No, didn't buy it. Also, I fucking hated the guy that played Fleming, like the kind of like Lemming in The Office.
Oh, yeah. Like the guy who was security before Strickland came in.
I don't know if he was security, but he was just like second or third in command or whatever.
Yeah.
My note was, I guess Bradley Whitford wasn't available.
Yeah, basically.
Because that guy was just Bradley Whitfording up everything. And they're like, well, we already have Richard Jenkins. It's in a lab. People are going to think Cabin in the Woods. So just get this fucking guy. He would be my number one. Then the general. Then I would have Pie Boy.
All right, Pie Boy, you got a break, Pie Boy.
You got a lucky Pie Boy. Sounds like an insult in The Outsiders. So do you want to go with Fleming or the general? For a great little rate in your life, go to the general and save some time.
Okay, yeah.
Put out like
he just wasn't like.
He wasn't like.
He wasn't. He just wasn't.
Yeah, that's a perfect way
like,
to put it.
Like, he just wasn't. Like, he wasn't.
Like, that part would have been.
Abrasive enough.
It would have been awesome if that was like, yo, what's that guy's name? Oh, man, you know who would have crushed that role? Noah Emmerich. You know who Noah Emmerich is?
No.
He's the best friend from Truman Show. He was the guy in the CDC from Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
He fits that vibe. Like, he doesn't have to be like this big, bulky, intimidating. He wouldn't have done it, but I wanted. Casey Affleck in Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A guy that's like, you can tell he's like a little bit sociopathic, if anything.
Yeah.
But Nick Searcy is not. He also seems like he's a piece of shit. He directed one of these, like, Dean Cain anti-fucking...
Everything
movies.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, so he's the LVP of this movie by far. All right, MVP. We're probably going to get in an argument. So
We're definitely going to get into an argument because I know you, and you're going to say that it's Michael Shannon. And it is not Michael Shannon. It is Sally Hawkins. But please, tell me why you think it is Michael Shannon.
What a fucking weird, evil dickhead.
Like, look, calculated, so gross.
Fucking gross, but captivating fucking
I think that's masochistic a great description.
Fucking wild man he is in this movie. And that comes from somebody that's never really been the biggest fan of his.
The fucking nut job.
Never really gotten him, right? Fucking got him in this. he creeped the ever-loving fuck out of me in this, and that takes something. So that's why I wanted to push for it so hard. Sally Hawkins, there are no words. Like, she conveys everything as such. Also, I love Richard Jenkins in this movie. Well, he's so affable yet devastating.
He is beautiful in this movie. He just does such a...
The other reason besides...
Wonderful performance.
Besides a couple of your very, very good points, the reason why I know this movie's going to go up at least a half point in my final score is, like, the core five performances, because Michael Stahlberg is also very good. Despite me not liking the deal, he's always good in whatever he does.
He was good, yeah.
The core five, Octavia Spencer's probably last on that. I don't see how she got a nomination for this. It's kind of wild to me that she does. And, like, Jenkins gets it over Shannon, which... I'm not mad at, but come on now.
Yeah.
Those core five performances.
I mean,
is six if you want to even go into Doug Jones.
Phenomenal.
Are all great. And
the cast in this is.
Yeah, the acting has never been my problem in Del Toro movies. It's the story and just some of the direction and some of, like I said, the
way that
the
they portray things. I get it. But I mean, no, it was just.
So sell me on Sally Hawkins. I get that scene is kind of the crux of the movie.
It's the crux of the movie.
She expresses so much throughout it, but...
Exactly. She exudes everything without talking. And we've said it before when we did, like... When we've done other films that have had mute or very... Like, even when we did the Quiet Place movies.
But just... So that can't always win, though.
Like, but it's so much harder... to do, and you have to take it with a grain of salt.
I would argue that Michael Shannon's job, it's not harder, but it is number two. Because it is so easy to be hammy and unrealistic. Like, I never thought this was unrealistic at all. And it's pretty out there. He makes it feel very believable. and the reactions. And that is hard to do in that level of kind of the performance. So the scenes I was going to reference earlier that I liked, when he is with Bob, like, sticking his fingers inside of him and torturing him to get that information, and then when he goes to Zelda's house,
like, rips his fucking nasty ass fingers off.
Like, bleh. Like, it is terrifying.
Ooh, I'm gonna throw up.
It is terrifying and awesome. Samantha just threw up. Oh, God. That'd be awesome. That'd be a first. I mean, come on. I think that wins my argument, right? What's... Yeah, I made this Lord of the Rings nerd puke for Clerks 2. I think I just won the argument.
Bye.
Yeah! Thank you, Vomit! Michael Shannon, all right. I mean, Sally Hawkins can be your first nominee for Should Have Been MVP.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm going to win.
She's good. She's very, 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 very good. I walked away with this movie being like, yo, I want to see all these Michael Shannon movies people have been talking about.
And even when you, like, juxtapose, like, his other performances, like, this and his performance in Knives Out.
Well,
because, like, that's the only movie I really know him from.
Well, you saw Man of Steel. Was he the LVP in Man of Steel?
I'm sure.
Was he?
I don't know.
Maybe he was. I have to look this up in my poop report.
Oh.
Or, hold on, look it on the sheet. You should have
Hang on. I'm trying to write something down. Chill the fuck out.
If you took good notes originally, it wouldn't be necessary.
Shut up, Chris. You made me mess up.
Sorry.
You're such a fucking piece of shit. Maybe if you didn't write in a poop report, then maybe you would have the answers that you're looking for.
Or maybe was he the MVP?
What movie are we looking at?
Man of Steel.
I don't even remember seeing that movie, Chris.
You mean just like you don't remember us seeing Date Night in theaters?
We didn't see Date Night.
We saw Date Night in theaters.
Never seen that movie in my life.
Who the fuck's the MVP of Man of Steel?
The LVP?
Both. I don't know.
LVP of Man of Steel? Yeah. Henry Cavill.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
MVP, Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay, fine. Cavill, a shitty movie. Bad movie.
I don't think Michael Shannon's ever been.
No, I just checked. He's not in either. So, yeah. So, MVP Michael Shannon, LVP Nick Searcy. Samantha, I want to warn you that I have written down my prediction for what your dumb question of the week is going to be. So, go ahead. Make me a believer.
All right, Chris.
Uh-huh.
How many eggs would you have had to eat before you would have fucked this girl?
What? Wow! That is not where that question was supposed to go! Now,
what did you think I was going to ask?
The whole question was, all right, Chris, what animal do you want to fuck? What animal...
No, yours should probably be a fish.
I wouldn't fuck a fish. It's because my last name's Mullet. How dare you?
My last name's also Mullet.
Wasn't originally. It's Canal. Okay, so that makes sense. Oh, my God.
Guillermo del Toro based this movie on me.
Also, there's some really good looking horses out there. What the fuck was your question? How many eggs? Of one. Sally Hawkins, she's not on my list. But if she were to give me one egg... And she doesn't talk? Oh my God, yes! That's like my ideal. The woman who gives me one hard-boiled egg, and she won't say a goddamn word, but I can enter her? Sign me up! Oh boy.
You're all the problem.
Oh, you asked the question.
Do you have a dumb question?
If my answers frighten you, maybe ask better questions. What'd you say?
Do you have a dumb question?
Oh, did I? No, well, that was which animal would you fuck? That's my dumb question. No, but I have two rants, though.
Let's hear them.
Bitch, you cannot flood that room. That is so irresponsible. Just because you are fucking a mute.
Horny.
Just because you're a horny mute bitch does not mean you know the damage it causes in that poor movie theater. That guy's struggling. He can't even spell Mardi Gras.
Two S's.
And also, it just doesn't make... Come on. You don't need to do that. My second rant. Fuck you, Bruce. You lazy motherfucker. The first time you get out of your chair and do something, you almost get Zelda fucking... You almost get everybody killed. You technically do get Eliza
Brewster.
Killed.
Brewster.
Brewster.
You said Bruce.
She calls him Bruce.
Oh, I thought she... No, his name's Brewster.
I thought they also called him Bruce at one point.
I don't think it was
Zelda's Brewster. Husband. He doesn't even deserve Brewster. A name. Brewster. No one likes you, Brewster.
No one likes you, Brewster.
Fuck you, dude.
Fuck you.
Piece of shit.
Fucking you fucking narc.
Answer the fucking door yourself!
Yeah. Well, I mean, what... Same outcome, probably.
Brewster. Yeah, but then he would have gotten shot earlier. Would have been great. Zelda would have been happy.
It was just a beautiful story.
I guess. I don't know what it... So have you seen any of his other movies?
Well, I mean, I saw Pan's Labyrinth, and yes. We talked about that.
Yeah, I remember... What did Pan's Labyrinth... It got a lower score, but I didn't hate it that much, which means you weren't that into it.
Man.
From what I remember.
Hang on one second.
I know.
Looking for Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth.
This man says 3 Academy Awards. Goddamn. So filmography. So we haven't seen... He's coming out with a Frankenstein this year. Is it Jacob Elordi as Frankenstein? Yes, that'll be interesting. And Mia Goth and Christoph Waltz. Oh, yo, I'm into this.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that, and I was very excited. Yeah. I don't think I have our individual scores.
We didn't watch Pinocchio. I didn't see Crimson Peak. Oh, Pacific Rim. Yeah, I didn't like Pacific Rim.
Oh, see, and I liked Pacific Rim more than you. Like, Pacific Rim
I haven't seen either Hellboy. Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth got a 6.75.
And that's going to be a lot of that's from you.
Yeah, but I don't have the individual
scores. I'm pretty sure I gave like a 5.5 or something. So do the math on that. I don't know.
I don't have the individual scores.
Yeah, and then Blade 2. And I didn't see his early stuff like Mimic and Kronos and things like that. But yeah, you know. God bless you. Anything else on Shape of Water? I can't believe this is as tight as it. I think we're very efficient.
Yeah.
On this one.
Yeah, when we are... Freaking exhausted. Fucking
exhausted and feeling it.
Absolutely.
So, are you locking in your score of an 8.5?
I mean, I just think it's just beautiful. I obviously know it wasn't perfect. Like, I know that there were you know, issues and whatever else, but I think it a great cast, wonderful music. It's absolutely gorgeous. I love the story that it told because I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was amazing. I think I'm going to keep my score.
Okay. I'm going to go up to a 7. Performances, the core nucleus of like the romance and the heart of the movie was all great. And like I said, the world building and the way that it looked and felt, but there's just some story elements that dragged on for me, and a lot of scenes that I felt were totally a mistake. So, it's still a good movie. I will go with 7. Okay. So, that is a 7.25, I believe.
7.75.
Is it? Okay, sure. It's 7.75 for The Shape of Water.
Now, Samantha, I used a calculator. That's how I knew I was right.
Calculator? You used a calculator?
Yeah, I used a calculator.
Good for you, baby.
Shut the fuck up. You piece of shit.
It is your turn to nominate 2 movies.
Oh, boy.
So stuff we have coming up, we have The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Beetlejuice, Paris Je T'aime, Twisters, and whatever you're going to nominate for us that I pick. Let's hear it.
I'm going to nominate The Aristocats.
Okay.
Versus The Aristocrats. Just because I saw them sitting next to each other and thought it'd be great. Thought it'd be funny.
You need to do this more. That's amazing.
I know. I'm fabulous.
The Aristocrats.
God damn it.
The Aristocrats 1,000%. Because I'm also trying to play it ahead. Like, I think that whole movie's on, like, YouTube. So, like, worst case scenario when I'm traveling, I could watch... Well, I guess I could watch The Aristocats easily on Disney Plus, but that would be weird, watching The Aristocats in a hotel room by myself. And also, I've never been the biggest Aristocats fan. I don't need you and Jillian to sing that offensive song all the time, so...
What?
Don't. I thought you were about to start it.
I was going to, but then I feel like you would just put it on loop, and then I would be on a list somewhere.
Oh, man, a shorter episode this week. I wonder. Oh, it's just that loop for 52 minutes. perfect. So, yes, the Aristocrats, as Drew Carey would do it, coming up. Also, it's good material for me to, you know, prepare for my roast in a year and a half time, basically. So, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Married Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're going to patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content that has probably not been updated in over 2 years. We have the stalest exclusive content in the game!
Give us your money!
You know what I should do, like, while I'm traveling? Actually fucking edit the 3 Neil Breen watch-alongs.
Yeah, you should.
That I have on my computer.
You should.
We also need to buy those movies and match it up, too, for people. Facebook, Twitter, meredithmovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. And at your host, Mullet38, for me on Instagram. For you.
Jam with your Sam.
Very good. And, yeah, we'll try to be back every week here for you guys.
We're going to do the best we can.
Bear with us. And again, we like the Friday schedule, but you'll get your sods, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think we covered it.
I fell asleep 15 minutes ago.
You did or I did?
No, you were good. You did well.
Thank you.
I think it was one of the first times you convinced me to increase my score.
No, that's not true. I've done that before. Increase and lower. I've done it. Both ways.
Man.
Both ways I've convinced you.
Man, you sure have ruined a lot of movies for me over the years.
For Mullet.
This is Mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. I wish I had a specific example to say right now.
You're a son of a bitch.
Oh, I do. Every Disney movie ever.
Shut the fuck up.
Because all you have to do is sing horribly at all the
music. It's not my fault. That's
yes, it is your fault. It's who else's fault would it be?
My mother.
For having no rhythm and musical
and
ability?
Giving me...
Tone
deafness. Yes, because I love to sing. And I know all the words.
I know. And you know who that's unfortunate for?
Me!
Every other person on this planet!
You fuck them.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.